This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is the true story of a New York City boy with big town hopes and small neighborhood dreams of becoming BFFs with the Real Housewives and other Bravo celebrities. Then, one day, that dream actually came true. Let me take you behind the velvet rope. Hey everyone, this is David. Welcome back behind the velvet robe. Let's just get right into it today because we are joined by the one, the only Bachelor Nation, Miss Kendall Long.
Hello, thank you for having me.
What is going on?
Right now, LA is pretty solid with quarantining, so it's kind of just surviving day to day and figuring out activities to do. I've literally resorted to drawing little doodles out of coffee stains. Like, I'm getting creative with this quarantine.
Because, like, LA is, like, really, I have so many friends there. You guys are, like, more locked down than New York, right?
Yeah, so they did lift the stay-at-home order, but I think everyone's, like, afraid to leave. We're like, that was just so quick. That was too soon. And, I mean, I'm still kind of really hesitant to go out into the real world, so... Yeah.
And like with nothing open, I mean, I don't really have a desire. Like, what's the difference?
My life is the dog park here. And that's pretty much where I go. My parents' place sometimes. But I do not explore much.
And you have your fur baby with us today.
I do. This is Pistachio. Well, his little harness is falling off because he's doing all kinds of activities. But yeah, you might hear him bark and you might hear him like play with random toys.
He's so cute.
Thank you.
Is he like so happy to have you home?
Oh, he has separation anxiety. So he's psyched. I literally got him right before COVID. So I mean, there's very few days that I'm not with him all the time. I bring him with me everywhere.
I like him. He's really cute.
Yeah, he's real cute. This is his
Oh my God. He looks like he could be a pistachio.
Oh, he's a little nut, that's for sure.
He's cute. Now you're not from LA originally, right?
Oh, I'm from Santa Clarita. So it's a city or it's a town like right outside of Los Angeles. So kind of the suburbs of Los Angeles. So I've been a California girl like my whole life. Yeah.
You seem like, I mean, that kind of makes sense to me. I've been a New York girl my whole life. So there you go.
Oh, I love New York. I wish I was a New York girl.
I love LA. I mean, I really, to me, splitting your time between the two is like the ultimate way. I would love that just to be by.
Oh, completely. Living bi-coastal, hands down. I'll do it any day.
LA, but you know what the problem is? Like New York, I don't know when you'd really want to be in New York. Like the only really good weather is like October, November, and I guess stay here for the holidays and that's it. Like the summers here are horrible. The winters are horrible.
No, I love going there for Christmas. And I ever went to New York was during a snowstorm and I loved it because LA just doesn't have that. So I was like out playing in the snowstorm and everyone's like, why are you crazy? But I was like, this is great. Like snow's going sideways. Like,
and like here, like you go out, like it could be snowing, like a torrential snow. And you're just like, put on your boots and go. Like, let's have drinks. Come on. Like, what's the big deal? We're not going to drive.
No, exactly.
So now, okay, let's talk The Bachelor.
Yes.
Well, did you watch The Bachelor before you applied? That is my first question.
I did. Well, so I hadn't been watching it really religiously, but I used to watch it a lot with my mom and my sister, and my dad would sneak in there every now and then. And then the reason why I applied is because I was house-sitting my parents' place, and they have a TV, so I was watching Bachelor with some girlfriends, and I was watching Rachel Lindsay's season. So I saw Rachel Lindsay's season, and seeing the dodgeball date is what made me want to apply, because I was like, this was so fun. And Rachel Lindsay, I just really liked her as a bachelorette. So that's what inspired me to go on.
Really?
Yeah.
So volleyball seemed fun, but were you also like, you know, okay, let's look for love? I mean,
oh,
were you?
I mean, you know, honestly, when I first applied, I wasn't, I think love, I mean, of course I was always open to love, always open to finding someone, but that wasn't like the main reason why I wanted to go on. I think one of the reasons was because I was like, it seems like such a crazy adventure and thing to do, and I could meet so many great people, and if I happened to fall in love, you know, that would also be a plus, you know, and I don't think I was banking on the fact. I think a lot of girls go in there saying, this is my husband, I'm gonna get married, this is the guy, but it's impossible to go into that, into it that way, because I had no idea who the bachelor was going to be. And so I don't want to go in feeling like I have to fall in love, because I thought that'd be very disingenuous to, you know, what the process of love was for me.
Totally. But you could see, like, you felt like, I mean, a good portion were there, like, really for love.
I mean, a lot of people were, I think they were thinking, like, no matter who it is, I'm going to, like, find a connection and fall in love, which is someone else's process. Like, I definitely had respect for that. But I was more so, like, my relationship with Ari when I was on was so much slower than everyone else's, because I think I started seeing the potential in him when the day I met him, you know? And luckily, we had a really good connection, but I wasn't going to force a connection that wasn't there, and I wasn't going to pretend, you know. And I think he knew that, and I think that's one of the reasons why I stayed so much longer.
I was going to say that's probably why he liked you. I mean, I just have a thing where I feel that when you just come on too strong, I mean, and not sexist, this applies both ways. It applies for The Bachelorette too. I just feel like those people are never the ones that are chosen. Like, when you show up with your gimmicks or you're just putting the moves, I feel like, just like life, like, who wants someone thirsty?
Well, it just seems disingenuous, and it feels like the person just wants to win, and it's not about winning. Like, that's what I don't get when people are like, oh, did you win? Like, how far did you make it? Like, what place did you get? It's, you know, love doesn't really work like that. It's either you have a connection or you don't, and yeah, I think it seems like if you don't want, the bachelor or bachelorette doesn't want to feel like no matter who comes in as the lead role, like, you're going to fall in love with that person. Like, I don't think that should necessarily be the expectation.
Who asks you if you won? Like, other people on the show, or like just friends and family, or just friends, when you meet someone?
Yeah, friends or fans,
funny.
Like, we'll ask, did you win? Or like, it's always like, how far did you get? And I always think it's so funny, because it's like, if you ask somebody like at their wedding, like, you won, you know, you won the prize. Like, it's just so weird. Like, it's a weird concept. So yeah, I don't see falling in love. I mean, I guess maybe it's winning at life, but especially when it's like on a reality show kind of format, it's weird to say like, you're the winner, you're the loser.
You know? Yeah. Like, this isn't Survivor, people. This isn't like Dancing with the Stars. Like, let's.
You have an engagement ring and a cash prize. It's like,
yeah, this is like. What about when did you, so like, what was the process like? Like, when you got there, you know, you watched it a little bit before, like, were you right away like, okay, like, now I'm in, like, these women are crazy, like, or were you just like, this is chill? Like, what was it like? Because I've heard so many different stories.
Yeah, I was incredibly intimidated the first night, because I'm not really the kind of person, like, then I wasn't the kind of person that knew how to do makeup, hair, outfit, whatever. So I kind of went in like, well, I guess I'll wear this. You know, I got this from Amazon. Like, literally my first, so my dress was like from Amazon or some weird store. And all these other women were drop dead gorgeous, tens. Like, they had it together. They had like everything. So when I first came in there, I was like, oh, there's like, how am I going to stand out? Everyone here is so beautiful, so amazing, so well-spoken. So the first night I didn't eat or drink anything. I was like terrified.
Wow.
And you wake up the next day and you see everyone without their makeup. And that's like my favorite day, you know, no makeup, chill clothes, just you talk all together. Some people are wearing, you know, with their hairs in like a messy top knot. And I was like, okay, I can get to know these women for, without putting them like on this pedestal of, you know, intimidation. And so I really enjoyed expanding those relationships with the woman. And from then on out, I didn't feel as stressed out as I did night one.
Were you, I mean, did you make friends right away? Or, okay, let's, a different question. What about, we talk about all these people that are there for love, you know, let's face it, lots of people are there not for love. Yeah. They're there for lots of other reasons. Like, I think, you know, I mean, listen, it's not what it was in the beginning. Like, people go for Instagram followers now.
But the thing is, like, I feel like with my season, it might have been one of the last seasons where not many people were aware of that. Like I didn't go in, especially didn't go in thinking anything about Instagram. I didn't know how Instagram worked or that I didn't even know Bachelor Nation was a thing. And some people like are very into The Bachelor, which I don't blame them. It's like a really cool show, but I had absolutely no idea. And then a lot of the women that were there, I didn't get that feel from them. And then after the show ended, I was like, oh, like there's a lot of opinions. Like there's a lot of opinions specifically about what I did. And I had no idea, or else I wouldn't have done a taxidermy date for hometowns. Like I didn't know, you know, I didn't know I was going to be getting that much attention.
Were you shocked? Right. So, I mean, I think maybe your season was one of the last. So like, but you didn't get that vibe from like everyone there. Like you didn't really get the, like, oh, these people are just here for some camera time.
Oh no. I mean, not at all. Like I think all the women that were there were just like so great and so pure. Even like the villain of our season, Crystal, she compared to like the villains now this season, I'm like, she was completely cool. You know, like I still have like a friendship with her. Whereas there's a lot of women like in the past seasons that I've seen that I'm like, these are just straight up malicious on purpose to get airtime. And I never saw that in my season.
We're going to talk about this season. Don't you worry.
So much to say.
There is so much to say. So what did you think of Ari? Like, when was it? You know, like you said, like in the beginning, you were really just meeting him for the first time. You didn't know really anything about him. Like at what point in the process, you know, because it's not your normal process of dating someone. Like at what point were you like, all right, maybe this could be something?
Well, when I really started feeling like, oh wow, like this is someone that I can actually be in a relationship with, was the two-on-one. It was so much later on. But I don't think a lot of people realize that I never had a one-on-one and I was only seeing him on group dates. And I definitely liked, there was a little bit of spark when we were in Tahoe and we did the survival date. There was definitely a spark there, but I never really had a chance to really process until the two-on-one where I had more time with him. And it was because when we were at the, I remember like the exact moment where I was like, huh, this guy, was we were walking in this like mansion or like this manor, and he was giving like facts about it. You know, he's like, oh, this is where this happened. This is where this happened. And I knew he did that because I was normally the fact person. And so to see him kind of like, you know, trying to do something to like connect with me, I was like really surprised by that. And I thought it was really sweet. And that was like when I was like really starting to fall for him. And yeah, it was definitely crazy to have it happen so late where everyone else, you know, was kind of like had that sooner.
And I mean, to your point, I mean, I never really thought of this before because I really don't know the statistics. I'm sure there are people out there in Bachelor Nation who do, but I wonder how many people do get like really far without the early one-on-ones.
Well, Lauren didn't have her one-on-one until Paris, too.
Yeah.
So hers. I think she also had like a late one-on-one. Becca had the first one-on-one. So that was, you know, I think he definitely had a connection with her early on.
It's probably pretty mixed.
Yeah. Yeah. I was surprised, though, because in my mind, I was thinking, if I'm not getting a one-on-one, like, how does this guy like me? And then when I had the two-on-one, I was like, he definitely doesn't like me. Like, who puts, like, someone that they've never had a one-on-one with on a two-on-one with someone who's already had a one-on-one? And then expects like, that's like their priority. So I was like pleasantly surprised later on with like how quickly our relationship tried to catch up. It just didn't catch up in time, but yeah.
Do you think that's what it was? Like it just didn't catch up in time?
Yeah, completely. I mean, also I feel like him and Lauren are just incredibly like amazing together. It just makes so much sense seeing them. And I didn't realize like how advanced those relationships were until I watched it back. Because you don't have conversations, at least on our season, where we're like, well, my relationship's so great. And, but you know, you're not really comparing your relationship because you don't see it. So to watch it back, I was like, ah, it makes so much sense now that he's with Lauren. And before I was just like, oh, I just didn't know.
Really? So like, even like with all like, cause you know, there's a lot of downtime, right? Like when everyone's on a group date and you're not there, like even then you're not really sitting around. Like it's really like,
it's awkward and no one wants to shove it in someone else's face, at least on our season. You're fortunate enough to have girls that weren't like, well, we're like so great and compatible. You guys can go home. It wasn't like that. And Lauren and Becca were very private about their personal relationship with Ari. Like they never expressed, you know, what they talked about. And the only way I had to gauge off relationships was group dates. And also like my one-on-one time with him, and based off of that, you can't really see much because Ari wasn't the kind of person that was going to you know, shows one person more attention than another and make other people feel uncomfortable on a group date. So yeah, there's really no way to gauge it.
What about, you know, because listen, we all know that every season on The Bachelor, the promos, this is the most dramatic season ever. And you hear the music and you hear Chris Harrison saying this. Like, how involved were producers? Like, what was your experience? You know, in the sense of like, you know, like you apply for the show and they find out like one of your parents passed away or whatever it is. Like, that's a trigger. And then all of a sudden you're doing something at a group date that is putting that in your face. I mean, we all know these exist, these stories.
Yeah, I think like maybe if you have a fear of heights, then you're going to get the skydiving date or if, you know, but I never personally experienced anything like that. For me, the producers or my specific producer was just as a friend. I still maintain a friendship with him. And you feel like they do genuinely care about your emotional well-being and how you are. And I think like how producers are is like they get you to open up and be more of yourself. Because a lot of us haven't had experience trying to be ourselves on television. So, you know, you get comfortable with crying and you get comfortable sharing like about your personal life in front of millions of people, but you don't really think about it in terms of like being in front of all these people. Like the fact that the show is going to air doesn't really play any sort of part in like how you express yourself, at least for me.
Really? Like it never... Yeah. Really, even subconsciously. I mean, I think this is why I've been in the mix for 800 reality TV shows and I really never get, like, I'm too aware. Like, I feel like, I mean, like, you knew it would air, but I get it. I mean, that's what everyone says. They're just like, I mean, who knows? I've never been on The Bachelor, but like, maybe you would just fall into it. But I would just think, like, I would just feel like everything I say can and will be used against me. And even when I'm in the corner and I don't see a camera, they're somewhere around here. Everything is being
in the beginning. I think I was really hyper aware of that. I was like, who's the actress? But as soon as you figure out like, oh no, these are real people. I also worked in television before. I was behind the scenes in set dressing and creative directing. So for me, it almost felt like I was going to work because I'm so used to being around like that filming kind of set. I almost took the approach of being someone that was working there. I was always like the first person to get an interview and then the last person to do the interview at the end of the night. They knew that I was the one that was like, I was cool with waking up early. I was cool with like staying up late. I was cool. Like, you know, I never really complained about anything. And it kind of just felt like I was like, you know, and in that I was like, oh, they're not filming me, you know, even though they, I guess during the 2-on-1 date was when I was like, really just like, oh, I'm being filmed. Like, because it was like the first time I was really faced with like 1-on-1 confrontation with like the drama. But yeah, other than that, because again, I'll bring up like the hometown date. I did like a taxidermy date, which is, yeah. I know it's very controversial with a lot of people, but in my mind, I was thinking like, ooh, I can do anything. Like, oh, I've always wanted to do this. Like, I thought this would be fun. And I wasn't thinking about how other people would react to like something like that.
I'm feeling so good today. And I honestly think it's because of the care of vitamins that I take every day. Care of is a wellness brand that makes it so easy to maintain your health goals with a customized vitamin plan that helps you feel your best today and supports you long term. It's so much fun. If you go to their website, you take their in-depth 5-minute online quiz. It really is fun. It asks you questions about your diet, your lifestyle, your health concerns, so that they can help you address your specific wellness goals. Your wellness goals and diet goals are not going to be the same as mine. Doing this quiz, you know what? It's really like a one-on-one consultation with a nutritionist, all without leaving your house. Now, when you're done, it recommends a specific vitamin and supplement plan for you. The vitamins, my vitamins and supplements came so quickly. They come in these cute little packets. So really, you know what to take each day. And what I love is the packets have these little quotes on them. So, you know, I'm all alone during COVID. I'm taking my vitamins, doing this show, but it's kind of like words of wisdom and encouragement. These quotes really are very self-affirming. So I love these little packets. It's so much fun. And the thing is, you know what? February is the perfect time to start with Care of, because look, we've all had those big, lofty New Year's resolutions. I didn't meet mine. Did you meet yours? New Year's resolutions don't have to be big. They could be small, little, impactful changes. I truly feel better since I started taking these vitamins and supplements through Care of, and I highly recommend you guys look into this. Now, let me tell you, by listening to this podcast, you get 50% off your first care of order. You go to takecareof.com. That's takecareof.com. Takecareof.com, and you enter the code VELVET50. You got to enter the code VELVET50. If not, you're going to take the quiz. You're going to have fun. Your vitamins are going to arrive. You're going to take them. They're going to have the cute little sayings on the packet. And guess what? You're not going to get 50% off. So go to takecareof and enter the code VELVET50, and you get 50% off your first order. I feel so much better. I'm happy. I have more energy. Whatever your goals are, just take the quiz. It really is fun, and they will give you a plan that is best suited for you. Again, takecareof.com, enter code VELVET50, and start feeling better today. All thanks to Care Of Vitamins and Supplements. That makes sense. What about, were you shocked at, I mean, I wasn't on your season, but I've heard stories just in general. Like, were you shocked? I mean, first of all, the producers must have like bowed down to you, like, okay, she's following all the rules and she's up early. And, but I mean, like, were you shocked at, like, there were girls, I'm sure, that just were like, I don't feel like doing that right now. No thanks.
Yeah, that was, there were definitely some moments where people were a little rude to other people. And I don't know, I just wasn't raised that way. But at the same time, like, you're put through an experience that's so different than anything you've ever experienced. And some people handle it with stress and anxiety, and others can just go with the flow. I'm luckily a California girl that just like goes with the flow with everything. Like, you literally, you can throw anything you can at me and I'm like, okay, it's fine. We'll figure it out. But some people like Crystal were like, have a strict regime of, I work out at this time, I eat this, I do that. And she tried to control so many elements of it. And I think that's what ended up making her break.
I think so. Did you feel, because other people have said this, I don't know. So did you feel like it was contrived in the sense of like producers kind of know who like the top four are going to be? Like, do you think they try to manipulate that? Do you think they, you know, like either, I don't know, like you look good on paper, you're waking up early. And I mean, I'm not saying that's why you got far. I'm just saying like, you know, like, do you think that really plays into it? And they know? And if so, like when?
Well, I think they thought I was going to be the weird one that was supposed to be comedic relief. I don't think they ever anticipated me making it to the final three. Like, I don't think that was ever in their minds. And I don't think it was even in Ari's mind until later when we like started really connecting. And I think it surprised him. And I can almost sense like the frustration with, oh, she was supposed to be the weird one. And now all of a sudden, like there's a connection there. It was very not expected. And so I think that's, I don't think I was planned, you know, I think they, in the filming, they're like, she's the one that's going to bring up taxidermy. She's the one that's going to like do weird things. And yeah, I think I kind of messed up a few things.
So in that sense, like it's real, like you mm-hmm. feel, you felt like it's a real representation.
Oh
like,
yeah.
It's real.
I 100%. It's so funny because everyone's always like, oh, it's fake. But you know, even on Paradise, like I had a real relationship that was almost 2 years based off of like meeting somebody on a show. Like it's not really a conventional way of meeting somebody, but if you have a connection, you have a connection. And yeah, it was the most real thing. If anything, I think it made all my future relationships more real because I was able to kind of self-reflect on how I handled like things in the past. You know, I was like more aware of how I handled relationships because of the show.
Really? Mm-hmm. Did watching it back, like, did you almost get advice from yourself? Like just watching it back where you're like, like now I see like not to do that again. Cause you know, you talk to a lot of people that are married that are on like different types of reality shows. And it's like, mm-hmm. it's either made or broken marriages. Like people will say like it made our marriage stronger or yeah. horrible to each other or the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is that my producer really helped me to open up. I think it was just because I, before, was never the kind of person, like, my friends used to call me Ken Box. I was more logical as opposed to emotional in relationships. And words of affirmation were just not a thing that I did. And so I would tell my producer, like, I've always dated guys who are so insecure. You know, it's not me, it's them. But he's like, well, do you ever let them know how you feel? He's like, you never, like, with Ari, he's like, you never really tell him how you feel. So that's where the insecurity could be coming from. And I was like, wow, you're right. Like, I never really make people feel safe in a relationship with me. So that was kind of an aha moment in terms of relationships for me, that has shifted my relationships moving forward.
Free therapy on The Bachelor.
Oh, completely. Oh, producers are therapists, hands down. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Did you ever watch, I'm sure the answer is no, did you ever watch the show Unreal with Constance Zimmer? I ask everyone this. It was a great show.
I've definitely heard of it. A lot of people have told me about it. I haven't watched it, but it's kind of like a spinoff of The Bachelor, right?
It's like a scripted version where, like, you know, they would literally tell you to go have an abortion because you were going to be the winner. I mean, it's obviously not based on anything, but it is. It's The Bachelor. There's a rose ceremony or whatever they give out. And it's a really good show. It's like 3 seasons. It's over. It's canceled. But
oh, no, I definitely want to watch it. I mean, the funny thing is, I think the thing is, like, if you put so many personalities together, there's going to be jarring, you know, things that happen. With my experience, it was never anything that was scripted, or no one ever like proded me to do anything. I do want to watch it. It'd be really fun.
Were you like, how upset were you like when you were sent home? Like so close, no rose. Like
it was like a mixed. I kind of felt mixed. You know, I really did like Ari, and I felt like it ended too soon, and I didn't really get to know him or experience a relationship with him as much as I would have liked. At the same time, everyone else was so much more advanced than me, and I was also really stressed out about the proposal at the end. And during the fantasy suite, I told him that I wouldn't want a proposal. Like at the end of it, I wasn't like, that's not what I wanted. And so I just wasn't there, you know, and I think a lot of the other women were.
Was he shocked when you were like, I don't want a proposal?
I think he understood, you know, I think he could kind of see that my relationship started so much later with him. And at that point, I think he also was probably starting to fall in love more deeply with some of the other women. So when I left, it was kind of like, well, these relationships are so much more advanced. And he obviously married, you know, Lauren, and they have like twins on the way now. So I just wasn't going to get there. And I think he knew that.
Were you more shocked when he picked Becca, or more shocked when he didn't pick Becca and then picked Lauren?
Oh, way more shocked when he went with Lauren, because Lauren was, like I said before, very, very private and to herself. And so I didn't know anything about the relationship. She had a one-on-one later on as well. So the whole entire time I was thinking Becca, 100%, I was like, oh, hands down, like he likes Becca, he's going to choose her. And then when he switched to Lauren, I was like, what? And Becca called me and she's like, did you see that coming? I was like, not at all. So I was extremely surprised by that. Yeah.
And other than that, like, she was private, but like, as you watch like other seasons, like, do you think it's easy to tell? Or do you think, I mean, I feel like there's some degree of editing that wants to mislead people.
Well, yeah, because you want at the end to be like, who's he going to choose? Like, they're so close. I think you know, like, you have to have an idea of who, like, stands out the most. I do feel like you can fall in love with more than one person. It's what that person is. Sorry. Stefano, hey, come here.
She's happy to be here today.
Yeah, she's like, I think that you can fall in love with more than one person, but it's how that person, like, who that person allows you to be. That also you fall in love with, you know, it's like, how can you be strong together as opposed to, I'm trying to explain it. I can understand how he'd fall in love with two people and it's like, who is the best for me moving forward? You know what I mean? It's, yeah, it can be confusing.
That makes sense. And I mean, like that's why I think the process in a way does work, because they really want you to genuinely like meet everyone, kiss everyone, like just really feel, I mean, you know, they tell you to be selfish, like that's how the process works.
Yeah, be in a relationship with someone you never expected, you know, and I think that was something, that's something that the leads can really, that maybe really surprises them, because, you know, they're starting these relationships with so many different kinds of people, and some people that they've never like seen themselves, you know, in a relationship with before, but they're probably surprised about how much they connect with that person. So that's one of the great things about the show, is that you can experience different relationships.
And then what about, talk to me about Bachelor in Paradise.
That was a completely different, just because it felt more like summer camp, you know, like you're all together with like all these attractive people and you know, can experience different relationships. It's not just one person. So you have more of a sense of like power in making your own decision and choice like you would in the real world. And I say real world because, you know, it's definitely very different than the real world. There's no technology, no phones. You don't have any input from friends or family. I don't know. I really liked it. Like I liked being able to explore a relationship on its own in like this little bubble before tackling the rest of the world.
There's just so many different layers to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great show. It's just like psychological warfare. I think of like, are you being played? Are you playing someone?
I mean, that's how the real world works too, you know?
You
dating apps and there's people who are like, are they talking to someone else? Like, you know, what else is happening? But I think that the thing about The Bachelor that I really like is that it brings everything to light, or eventually everything will come to light. Whereas in the real world, people can be shady and hide stuff. You know, I think that's the thing that I've realized after being on a show like The Bachelor is that you're held accountable. You know, if you kiss someone, like I was on a date with Leo, I was held accountable. Everything was in the surface, like really quick, super honest, and you get over it and you move on. Whereas in the real world, you can hide things if you want. You know, people can hide things from you and you're just not held accountable. So in a sense, like I enjoyed having everything be public.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you shocked? Like you mentioned, like taxidermy, you got off The Bachelor, was then what? You go home and you check your Instagram, you start going through everything and you're like, there's all these, I mean, granted you could like fly in on a rainbow with a unicorn and people are going to have something negative to say. Oh. So, but like, were you, I mean, tell me about that. Like, were you, did you go down that dark road? Cause some people do before they come out the other end, or you were just always like, I'm not, who cares?
Of course I cared. You know, I mean, I've never been in a situation where I had opinions like that before. And thank God for my friends and family and with how close my relationships are, because you question everything about yourself. You're like, am I a bad person? Because people are pretty nasty. And so I didn't expect that. Like I didn't. And especially after Paradise, I was in a relationship with Joe. There's a lot of opinions about our relationship. And if we weren't as strong with each other first before it went public, it could ruin a relationship. Like I see Claire and Dale then just breaking up, you know, a lot of it probably had to do with other opinions. And that's why it's so hard for bachelor relationships to last, I think sometimes, is because it's not only a relationship amongst themselves, it's a relationship with all the fans of the show. And can you live up to their expectation? And is that going to affect you? You know, luckily in my case, like with Joe and I didn't feel like the outside world had as much of a role that played into it because we were a team, but I can see how other relationships are affected by that.
Were you like shocked? I mean, I guess you were open to the process, like when you were on Bachelor in Paradise, or were you shocked that you actually came away with Joe and like actually had someone to date?
I think after being on Bachelor, I had more hope being on Bachelor in Paradise because I saw that there was a spark with Ari and I saw how the relationship developed so much quicker. And I also had so many tools that I learned from that show. And so going on Paradise, I was like really excited. It went a lot quicker than I thought. Like you have to expedite your relationship a lot quicker, which is why I struggled at the end. But I was excited and I was definitely going into it thinking like, oh, something can definitely happen.
That makes sense. And then you guys dated, like you said, for 2 years.
Yeah, like a year and a half or maybe a little more.
And then you broke up and you put out a joint statement.
Yeah.
This is just because I'm a podcast host. So this is where, I mean, I have a sick view of like reality TV and media just because of what I do. But so like you put out a joint statement, it's kind of over. And like, I don't know, I'm not being shady, but like now that he has a podcast, he brought it up recently.
Oh, really? I don't listen to the podcast and him talking just because it's kind of hard. But wait, what did he say?
He didn't say much. He just brought it up. Just brought it up. And it was, I don't even know what really he said, but I was just like, I don't know. It was almost like there was online chatter of like, why are you talking about this? It's over. And like, you already made a statement and just like, I don't know. Yeah. I just took it of like, no shade. If you want ratings and that's how you're going to get it, by all means. It's just kind of what it seems.
Oh man. And I feel like I have to go listen to what he said. I mean, I've talked about it in interviews before. I think it's one of those things where we both have such a respect for each other that there's certain things we're never going to talk about in interviews just because that's between us. But overall, like, the reason why we broke up wasn't because we didn't like each other. It was, you know, had to do with moving and not wanting to be in the same place. And he has a very strong opinion about that. And so do I. And we're just never going to come to terms. You know, it's like agree to disagree. That's kind of like why we broke up.
And that's what his statement was. I think it really was just about like that you never want to leave LA. I think it was more that he, now listen, I live in New York. So like, I think no offense to anyone that lives anywhere, but like, you know, there is something, if you live in New York or LA, you just have that weird mentality, whether it's right or wrong, that those are the only two places to live. I got it. No offense to anyone that doesn't live in those two places, but I think his statement was something like, well, I never knew this. And people were like, you knew it. It was something like that.
Oh, I mean, I think he would say, it would surprise me if he said that he didn't know, because very early on in our relationship, I would venture to say, like, within like the first month of our relationship, like before we even became official, I said that it'd be really hard for me to move. And then I think it was on my birthday where I said I would never move to Chicago. And that was really early on in our relationship. And he was very much aware of that. And he was okay and continued on with the relationship with that knowledge. And so I think like we had like a very strong understanding. And I don't resent him for wanting to move to Chicago. Like I love his friends and family. He has such a strong support group there. And I think in order for him to, you know, have the life that he wanted and the future that he wanted to be in Chicago. And I'm not upset about that. That's what he wanted. It's just not what I wanted.
I would think I think that's why a lot of just Bachelor in Paradise and Bachelor couples don't make it. It's like, you go on this national show where people are from everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think distance is an issue for a lot of couples. Like, you know, once you get into the real world.
Yeah. I mean, I've always stayed the same with that. When I was with Ari too, I told him I wouldn't want to move to Arizona. I'd want to be in LA. Like that's just always been a thing, a criteria for people that I date. And Joe wanted to live in LA. I mean, we got a place together. So to me, I was thinking, oh, this is perfect. Like he wants to live where I want to live. And we can make it work, but I've never, and probably will never move for a guy. That's just how I am. And he knew that. I think everyone that dates me knows that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No. You want to stay in LA?
Yeah. I mean, like, I would, because of what I do and I could work anywhere. I mean, sure, I would go spend 8 months somewhere else, 7 months. But, like, do I ever want to give up my home in New York and, like, no. Like, just psychologically, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's like your home base, you know? If you want to start a family or being close to family, like, there's a lot of factors that contribute to that. And for me, I never pictured raising a family in Chicago. And yeah, that was definitely not a surprise in any relationship I've been in.
What about, what did you think of Claire and Dale?
I met Claire before and she's incredibly sweet. I have nothing but good things to say about her. It's hard because she was so certain so soon. So I think a lot of people, especially myself, who even like the season with Ari was too quick for me. It was surprised that she was ready like so soon. And I almost think Dale was maybe a little surprised by that too. I think he was expecting more time, but hey, you know what? They gave it a shot. I think a lot of people after being on the show, like the worst that can happen is that you break up, but at least you tried. And I'm glad that they tried. I think that, you know, the one thing that happened with Joe's and my breakup is that we were on the same page. We did the joint statement. Claire and Dale didn't really do that, which maybe I would have advised them against early on. And it sounds like Dale's kind of the one that did like a joint statement that wasn't joint. But it's hard. You know, you can't talk about the other person without publicly, without making it like talking together first and being on the same page first. Because then you open it up to, you know, other people. They see holes in your relationship. They see holes in it and then they can attack. You know, so yeah. I mean, unfortunately now they're kind of both fighting their own battles separately as opposed to being a team, which is unfortunate.
I think so. There's a lot of holes now that there's not a joint statement.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Dale tried to do a joint statement because no one wants to be the evil person that broke up, you know, like you're completely attacked for that. So I think he was trying to soften the blow by it and he ended up making it harder on himself. So,
I mean, do you think, cause there's all these allegations that he cheated.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, that'd be really sad if he did, but then again, like I think people are only saying that because I think there was a whole mentality about their relationship from the beginning. And so, you know, people are going to run off with that idea of, oh, he didn't really care about her as much as she cared about him, blah, blah. That's all assumption. And I think, and it's kind of mean, you know, to kind of try to follow that. I mean, if it's true, then I feel really sorry for, you know, Claire having to go through that. At the same time, I don't think that should be public. I don't think she should have to worry about that being public right now.
And like, no, I would agree. And like, do you think it's a double standard? Because I agree, like, that is the perception of their relationship. Why? Just because she's like 39 and ready to have children, he's younger. Like, there was that perception.
I mean, I think it's also because like some things in the edit, like she had his shorts and she called him her husband so early on and she was so sure. So like, as soon as she saw him. So I think maybe the little tiny things led up to that. I think maybe Dale was more internalizing his feelings and going a little slower. And so just because she moved quicker with her emotions doesn't necessarily mean that it was an uneven relationship. But yeah, it's so hard to say unless you talk with them personally about it. And I think they'll probably both talk about it eventually.
Are you shocked that they broke up?
You know, I'm never shocked when anyone in the Bachelor world breaks up. I was more shocked about Carly and Evan, I'll be honest, because I've actually met them together and I loved their relationship and I related to the relationship in a lot of different ways with Joe and I. So I was more shocked about that than I was shocked about, you know, Claire and Dale.
Interesting. Fair enough. I mean, do you think they should give her another chance?
I don't think she'd want to do it. I mean, potentially, maybe she'll be on Winter Games again, but if she wants to, and hell yeah, she should do whatever she, you know, wants in order to find somebody, but I almost feel like she's kind of done with it.
So, I think so.
Yeah.
What about Tayshia and Zach?
Oh, I love Tayshia and Zach. Yeah, I mean, Tayshia is an amazing woman. I've met her a few times. I've never met Zach, but I've heard him on a few podcasts, and I think he holds himself really well. And he's from New York, you know? I love city personalities. So, she's from LA. So, I mean, I guess, like, I see a lot of myself, you know, in those kinds of, like, relationships. But, yeah, I'm rooting for them, hands down. I think they're adorable, so, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk this season.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Well, where do we begin? Should we begin with Matt James? Let's just take a moment.
Yeah, let's talk about Matt James. He's great. We know that. You know, I mean, I think I like that how he approaches, like, he's also so delicate with each individual woman's emotions, which was something that Ari did, which I really appreciated. Not many people, you know, saw that, but, you know, and I think that the way he's handling it with them is very graceful, and, like, I really appreciate how he's handling that.
I mean, he doesn't seem like a player. I mean, he doesn't.
Not at all. He comes across as very genuine and, like, he really wants to find a woman. And also, like, what I liked in this last episode is that he has no tolerance for bullying. You know, we saw a sneak peek to next week and he's like, if you have to dull someone else's shine in order to shine yourself, I think is what he said, then, like, that's not the person I want to be with. And I have so much admiration for how he is going to approach that, hopefully, next week.
Do you think that, like, you know, that the messenger... that it works out okay for the messenger in that situation? Because, like, we always see every season somebody go and be the one to say, like, listen, this is what's going on in the house.
Yeah. Well, she handled it so much differently. I mean, the one thing I really like about Katie is that she also doesn't have any tolerance for bullying, but she didn't approach it to Matt saying, like, this person, they're drunk. You know what I mean? She didn't really, like, point fingers, or she wasn't the one that tried to solve the drama. She said, like, this is what's happening. I think it'll be more effective coming from you. Like, you need to handle this because it's getting to a point that's just, like, distracting. It is distracting from so many relationships. Like, I feel like there's so many strong competitors that I wanted to see and wanted to see how the relationship has grown, but there just hasn't really been as much of that. And it's kind of getting late, you know, now there's more women. It's just, like, it's overwhelming.
When they brought in the extra women, I was just like, I mean, I don't know. Like, a friend said this to me the other day, and I do kind of agree. Like, it is hard in the beginning, no matter whether they're men or women, you're just like, you know, you learn some names, but it's like, okay, we need to get this down. So when they brought in more people, I was like, oh my God, This is not going to help. Like, who's who and what's going on here?
Exactly. And of course it was going to cause drama. We knew that. But to the extent of making fun of, like, not making fun of, but starting rumors about someone being a potential escort, not only do I not believe in, like, shaming anyone's order of business or, like, how they make money, how they put food on the table, but to make that, without even having any solid evidence, to make that such a big deal when someone comes into an already difficult experience. I think Anna was the one that was, like, she went from, like, I think I know her, to she's an escort, I'm going to hide her acorns. it was like, how did you make that jump? You know?
Yeah. Anna's not my favorite.
No, I don't really like, everyone made comparisons with her and Hannah. I don't know.
Interesting.
Anyone that has to put other people down in order to shine, like Matt said, like, is someone that I don't really have much respect for. So
who do you think are, like, some of the front runners? I mean, I know it could change within, like, a week or two, but, like, right now.
You know, there's so many people that, like, I really was excited about, but I haven't seen a lot with. I think one person that stood out with me recently is Chelsea. I think that having her moment with Matt, where she was talking about her hair, like, that really impacted me a lot.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really important moment, just to have on reality TV in general. And I think Michelle, I believe her name is, the new girl who had the 101.
She likes Michelle.
And I was, and the thing is, like, some people that I thought were really strong were almost replaced by, like, new relationships that were happening. And so I definitely think he likes her. Matt wears his emotions on his sleeve. Like, you can tell if he really likes somebody. And, you know, I think that is a relationship I'm looking at. Bree, hands down. Like, I love Bree so much. I'm fangirling over Bree.
I had Bree on my list, and I had, Bree on my list, Melissa, maybe Katie.
Yeah, I really like Katie. I don't think Matt connects with Katie. I think
probably not.
Bachelor Nation connects with Katie. You know what I mean? Like, I think that he respects her and respects her opinion, as we saw with that talk, but I don't necessarily see, like, the romance kind of spinning with them. I think they're just friends, you know? So, who else?
And I forgot her name. I think it's Lauren, but that corporate lawyer. She's really pretty.
Oh, Lauren.
It may not be Lauren. She's a corporate lawyer, that I know. They had, like, a moment. She got one of the roses on the date early on. We haven't really seen much of her lately.
Yeah, that's the thing that's unfortunate, is that there are so many people I was so excited about. Oh, now I'm forgetting everyone's name. The woman that got the first impression rose.
Was that her? I don't know if she got the first, but she got one of the first roses, this girl.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's just, like, there's so many people that I saw so much of a spark, and then it's trailed off. Rachel was someone that I was excited to see more of, because the episode before this last one, we were just starting to get to know her more. And now there's, like, a tidal wave of drama that we have to get through until we can, like, be refreshed by the real, like, what we're really watching this show for is, like, for there to be a relationship or a potential proposal at the end of this. So, I'm excited for next week, because I almost think that's going to be, like, the limit of, all right, we've had enough with all this overwhelming stuff. Victoria's finally going to be gone.
You think so?
I really hope so. I want Anna to be gone. Who's that other woman with, like, the curly hair? She, like, is disappointing me with a lot of ways that she's approaching the situation. So,
well, let's talk about Victoria for a minute.
Yeah.
Now, okay, it's not your season. So you need to tell me Victoria is there for love.
I don't think...
And not, well, fame, or not Instagram followers, or not a career. I mean, everybody's talking about her.
Well, the thing is, like, I think that she would 100% jump on the chance of being in a relationship with Matt if she could.
Sure.
I just don't think it's there. Like, I think she genuinely would want to. I just don't think Matt likes her in that way. And I think it's frustrating, and she's venting it in different ways. I mean, you know, it's intimidating to be the woman who isn't, like, you can tell if someone likes you. And I think she's kind of venting that out and being like, well, now I'm just going to be the villain. Now I'm going to do it for followers because he doesn't really connect with me. Like, she's had to almost force him to kiss her every single time. Like, she's had to genuinely ask for it. So
yes.
Frustrating.
It's embarrassing. I would never, that just would not be my style.
But she draws more attention to it because she is so, like, freaks out, you know, like, yeah.
Bachelor Nation online chatter, a lot of people are saying like, oh, is she a paid actress? That's where it's going.
She's not. I think maybe, I mean, at least from my experience, like I've never seen any paid actresses be on the show. I think that she's somebody that takes a situation where she could be someone that just disappears and no one like pays attention to. I think she takes that and tries to do the opposite. Almost like she overcompensates, you know, in that way. And I think she genuinely has like that kind of personality, but she's probably exaggerating it more so because she probably likes the attention that it gives her. I mean, taking the crown and like
that was just, I mean, eye roll. An eye roll, and like, I don't know, like, I'm just like, is she aware? Like, I know that what she's doing, but like, is she aware? Like, does she, I don't know. Like, yeah, you said, like, I think this is her personality in some respect.
I think she's almost hyper aware and overthinking and wanting to make polarized moves. It's almost like she tries too hard. So it comes across as disingenuous. And I do feel like you can't help but feel really awful for the woman who chooses that route because you know it's going to be really hard for them later on. Like right now, she's probably getting an onslaught of like hate, awful messages, people poking fun at her biggest insecurities. The girl's a sty-eye. It's like, it's not fun. You know what I mean? And like, unfortunately, like she's bringing that upon herself, but no one can prepare you for that. Like I was nice. And I got like an onslaught. I can only imagine like what she's going through right now. So
I mean, you think she's in for it when she gets out?
Oh yeah. I mean, like right now as the show's airing, like she is probably getting death threats and that's not funny. Like it's not funny, you know? And so that's the thing. Like when you do showcase yourself in that way, like I don't think a lot of these girls anticipate like the backlash for that.
Right. Cause you can't really, I mean, you see it, but you don't really think it's going to be you. You know, you have a certain number of followers and you're not on social media for 7 weeks, 8 weeks, 5 weeks. So you come out and then you're like, yeah, I would say that. What was all your online hate? Was it just because of taxidermy? Is that the main thing?
It was taxidermy and then Paradise. I got a bunch of hate just because I went on another date with someone. Like, you know, I think the idea is as soon as you meet someone, you're going to get married and have babies. And if you're not that way, then like, how dare you? You know what I mean? And so that's the thing. It's just like, in the real world, we explore so many relationships before we find the one, and even the Bachelor and Bachelorette explore so many relationships before they choose the one at the end of a 3-month process. So in the situation of like being on Paradise, you know, unfortunately we're not really, really rewarded with that kind of understanding or luxury. And, you go into a situation where you want to be able to experience so many relationships because you want to find someone that it really is the one, despite exploring all these relationships. But yeah, that's, it can get overwhelming when people like assume that you should fall in love as soon as you see someone. So
not to make you relive your online hate, but right.
I've gotten over it.
You've gotten over it. So that's good.
Yeah.
What about like, are you shocked like in general, just how big, I mean like you're part of it, but like, are you shocked at just how big Bachelor Nation is? Like this thing is real.
Oh, Bachelor Nation is a force to be reckoned with. And I love so many comments that I've gotten. Like, I don't want to like showcase only the hate because I've had so much support. And the more you, like my season of The Bachelor in Paradise was like so long ago compared to all these other women who are going through it. So the people who stay around and support you with social media are the people that genuinely like see you for you or like kind of understand you a little bit more. So it does get better. Like, I guess I'd want all the other women to understand, like, it may seem really overwhelming and awful right now, and it is, but it's going to be okay, and you're not going to be hated forever, and people will forget, and you know, and that's probably the best thing about reality TV is that there's always another season, you know, after Matt James' season, there's gonna be Bachelorette, then there's probably gonna be Paradise, you know, pain is temporary. So
it's true. I mean, I even tell people that come on here that have moments. Yeah. Sometimes people say things on here that go all over the world. And I'm like, let's just ride this out. In 48 hours, nobody is going to be talking about what you just said. It's over. It's crazy how that's just how the media works.
Yeah, but you know, that's the cool thing. Like when I went on The Bachelor, I mean, it's definitely lasted a lot longer than I expected. But when I first went on, I was thinking, oh, this will be like a year, if that, of my life, and then I'll move back to, you know, go back to regular life. And I mean, fortunately and unfortunately, it hasn't necessarily been that. It's been so much more than I expected, and it's been so amazing and I'm so grateful for so many experiences. But being in the public eye, it's a lot harder. If, like, I think a lot of like actresses or actors or people who are hosts, like, they can build up to that and understand what it's like being like famous or having, like, you know, fame. But a lot of these women, like, we're just regular people who kiss on TV. Like, there's no way we can be prepared for that. Like, I never anticipated ever being on TV, you know?
Right. And yes, I agree with that. And, like, in a way, I mean, I guess it's kind of the same thing, but if you're hated as an actress, I guess, you know, you are, it's your job.
Yeah.
Here, you're basically hated. Not that what we see on TV is you, but you're basically, someone's telling you they hate you. Like, your personality sucks. This is what you did. Your morals are corrupt and you're a disgusting human being.
Yeah. You're not acting to make your own choices.
I've gotten plenty of online hate myself. So trust me, I get it.
Oh, you're awesome though. I like you a lot.
I like you. Well, there are people. I mean, you just have to learn to live with it. Yeah. And listen, I feel like someone once told me this, and it was really good advice. Someone's like, you know, if you're doing a certain job that's in the public eye and you have 800,000 comments and they're all positive, you're like, it's not real. Like, those are fake. Yeah. And I'm like, you're right. Like, the bigger your audience is, you're going to, like, you almost want some of the hate.
Beyonce is like the amazing woman. She probably has so many haters. You know what I mean? Like, you know, yeah. Everyone is going to have an opinion. You know, the more people see you, the more opinions there are. And that's just what it is.
It's just sick that this is like the world that we live in now, but it is. What about Chris Harrison? How was Chris Harrison to deal with?
Oh, I love Chris Harrison. He's just like so hilarious and witty, and he has like such funny humor. I mean, it's funny because you don't really see a lot of him when you're on the show itself. Like, he pops in and out, and he's almost the someone. When he comes in, you're like, oh, something's going down. Like, that's how rare it is for him to come in. You're like, this is something that's happening, you know. And you see him during the roast ceremonies, but he's almost like he is the Bachelor, you know. But he's great, and I love his relationship with Lauren. Like, and I think they're really hilarious together. But yeah, you know, he's a cool guy. He's just real, very real.
I mean, like, did you see during your season or hear of anything in Bachelor Nation? Again, this is just where my mind goes. But, like, did you see people try to hit on him or hear of anything? I mean, listen, I think the same about Jeff Probst on Survivor. I mean, married, not married. Oh. That doesn't stop certain people. Like, you know, Chris Harrison does well for himself, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, he's very professional in the sense that I think he approaches the situation and he doesn't ever give off the air that anything is ever going to be acceptable in that way. So you never think, of course, like, he's a desirable man, you know what I mean? Like, but also, I mean, after my season, there's now that he's like in a relationship. So I think people have a lot of respect for that, but he almost is like he's like the boss at work. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's definitely like a line that's drawn.
Listen, if I were him, I wouldn't give off any vibes either. He's like, I'm not losing this job. I'm not even coming close to losing this job.
Yeah, no way. Absolutely not.
So, you know, I think that's a smart thing to do. Yeah. What do you think is, like, do you still get recognized a lot? Like, when you just go, I mean, we're trapped inside, but like when you're living life, like, do you get recognized just walking around?
Oh no, I live in LA. No one cares about me. Which is like good, but also like when someone does recognize me, I'm like, oh cool, you know. But there's so much more famous people, and also we're all wearing masks now. I think right after I got off the show, a lot of people recognized me, and especially when I was with Joe, there was more conversations. That's kind of like why I wanted to stay in LA too. There's more of a chance to kind of be like, when I went to Chicago or even New York, it was just like so overwhelming sometimes.
Because here you're like on the streets. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though there's lots of famous people here, like, you know, I don't know, like, you walk the streets, you get recognized. So if you just want to go about your life.
Yeah, there's a lot more tourists and stuff. I mean, in LA there is as well, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, it you almost feel like it never really even happened sometimes.
Yeah.
Just kind of nice, but at the same time, like, yeah, there's no traveling now, so I haven't really been to another place. But when I was traveling, like, on tour with Joe when he was doing Dancing with the Stars, there are some people who are like, I'm just like, I just kissed someone on TV, and like, I'm so like honored that you like are excited to meet me. But, you know, it's almost like, yeah, I don't know. It just seems so odd.
You're like, what did I do? Like, it's not, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if you're an actor, it is your craft. And like a lot of them take it seriously. And you're like, you don't love me, you love my work, but at least that's a compliment that you like my work.
Yeah. But Bachelor, I think it's like, I feel like I could be your friend is like the main thing. It's like, we'd right. really be great friends. You know, that's what the main thing that I get from fans, which I love, is that they're like, I can really like see myself hanging out with you. And like, that's the best compliment to me. Cause I'm like, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's a unique, it's like, they're like, they see you as a person and they're like, I want to be around you as like a friend. And like, I think that's sweet.
That makes sense. What about, are you the type that gets starstruck? Like you said, you live in LA, like, you know, or are you just, because there's some people that are, no shade to whether you are or not, a lot of people aren't.
I get starstruck around, like different like documentarians that I absolutely love. So this is one guy who, he's a documentarian for like Dark Tourist and Tickled, David Ferrier. Oh, like, I like, mentioned him in my story and he like reposted my story and I was like, oh my gosh, like that's great. There's certain people that I will be starstruck with. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that I've been starstruck with.
Yeah, or like, did you ever meet anyone in LA where you were just like, oh my god, like I have to speak to this person?
Yeah, I mean, I think I saw RuPaul when I was at this one event and I couldn't even go up. I was just like, but there's certain people that I'll be starstruck, of course, you know.
Do you watch Drag Race or any other like reality TV?
I love Drag Race. I love Dragula is now like an amazing, like I love anything kind of like competition show, like where there's like creativity. I really love, and like any doc, if I watch like a documentary and like there's like a documentarian, like also it's like the real personalities is what I like. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I love seeing people like who aren't playing a part but who are like genuinely themselves. Like those are the kinds of people that I'm like, again, I'm like, I want to be your friend, you know what I mean? Like that's how I approach it too. So so yeah, there's a lot. Like Louis Theroux, I would be completely starstruck. I would have to go up to him, you know. He is a documentarian as well. So
we've had a lot of the RuPaul girls on this show, so feel free to listen. I mean, yes. I just like it because like drag is freaking, I mean, I could never be a drag queen. It's so hard. I mean, forget about the fact that I couldn't dance or sing, just the sheer creativity and costumes. Like it is a full-time, like your creative gene has to be flowing at all times.
Well, I also love the idea of like an alter ego, you know, like creating like a character that completely transforms who you are. Like, I love that. And for Halloween, like I did drag. I did a king, I think is what it's called. Like I was Neptune. I had this big beard and you really do feel like you embody like the, like an opposite sex. And you're just like, yes. Like, I don't know. Something about it is like so addicting, you know.
Yeah, I would love to do drag for Halloween one year with someone like one of these drag queens helping me. That would be great.
Oh, dreams.
And I have to say, all the drag queens we've had, like the one thing, because you see common similarities between a lot of, like they're just literally shockingly, like you wouldn't think, they're like the nicest people possible out of all the people we speak to,
because they understand what it's like approaching a world that has such a strong opinion or can have such strong opinions, you know, and there's so much like probably negativity that they face. So they understand that. And I think there's so much more like a grace with that understanding.
Do you watch any other, like, do you have any other like download guilty pleasures like in COVID? Like, did you binge any, or are you just not like me? I'm like not a movie person. I am so into so much TV that I have no time for movies. I have not seen a movie in like years.
I like TV because it gives time for more character development, where a movie, you have to like rush, you know, certain plot lines.
Yeah.
I got into the Bridgerton thing, very much into that, because it's like a historical thing, you know. Not.
Yeah, that's why I didn't watch it, even though everyone says I would love it. I'm like, oh, historical, like I can't.
I'm not really a historical person either. I really liked that. I love a Great British Baking Show. or Great British Bake Off. I love like British television. They edit it in such a funny way, you know? So I'm obsessed with that.
What else? Anything else you... Oh, well, you know what I want to ask you too before you go? So what is going on now? I take it, are you single now?
Yes. You know, COVID's not really the best time to find any sort of relationship. I've tried dating apps. I'm not in any dating apps anymore. I think, you know, I'm in a place where I want to kind of sit back and kind of like wait a bit. It could be overwhelming. And I'm just focusing more so on like future stuff. Like I just published a book, so I'm really focusing on that. And I'm just excited about so much in my life and focusing on other relationships. So.
What is your book on?
It's called Just Curious, Notebook of Questions. And it's a book full of questions that I've collected over time to help spark conversations with people. And I first brought it on when I was on The Bachelor, and I bring this book with me, like a notebook that I carried with me everywhere with just a bunch of questions just to start fun conversations. And I brought it up on The Bachelor. I asked Ari if he would ever eat human meat, and that was like a thing. And so I never really thought about publishing it until fans were like, oh my gosh, I want that book. So yeah, a couple years later, I finally published it. So I'm excited.
What is human meat? Like a person?
Like, okay, so if you were ever in a situation where maybe there was a tribe, that's tradition was to eat a person after they had passed in order to like maybe spread their energy throughout the community. Like, would you ever try human meat?
Sure.
Yeah, right? That's what I thought.
I'm the type that usually just says yes to most things.
Yeah, no, why not? I'm the same way. Like, and I was like, yeah, I definitely would. And Ari was like, no. And so a lot of people were like, cannibal, you know, which is funny. But
Army Hammer, now we have a whole nother discussion about eating people. And
I know this whole,
that's no, a thing.
It's one of those things where I love bringing up questions that are like kind of taboo and make you rethink like societal constructs. Not that I think it should be normal to eat humans all the time, but you know, why not be open to experience and why not play with certain ideas that seem so outrageous, but it's kind of fun to like go down that path of conversation. And so that's why like this book is really important to me and just really fun, because I think it gives you a scapegoat to have conversations that you normally would feel too afraid to have, you know?
That like, makes sense.
Yeah, so it's just been fun.
Speaking of dating apps, do people recognize you on dating apps?
You know, sometimes. I feel like I would get a lot of, will you accept this rose kind of thing? Or, oh, like I saw you on Instagram. And I put my Instagram on there, or I did when I was on it, because I was like, I just want people to just know who I am. And I don't want to have to go through the, I don't know who you are. Like, well, I don't watch TV. Like,
right.
People who are just like, yeah, I just never watch reality TV. I'm like, why do you feel like it's important to tell me that if you don't know who I am, you know? So,
right.
You know, I just don't like to play games. I'm like, this is who I am. I've been on this. Let's talk about it and let's move on, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why I kind of stopped going on dating apps, because I think a lot of men seem to be like too cool to watch The Bachelor, and that ego is something that I'm just not down with. So I'd rather meet someone in person.
That makes sense. I'm not really, I mean, well, it's funny because I have, like, to your point where you date, I have a friend, this is in New York, this literally happened this morning. My friend's like, oh, I'm going on a date tomorrow and two on Saturday. And I'm literally like, what do you mean? Like, are you walking around the block? Are you sitting in your lobby? Like, yeah. Where are you going? There's nothing. I don't understand where you go on a date in COVID either. There's not one restaurant that's open in New York City except for delivery.
I will say FaceTime dates, and then there's a park near where I live, you know, there's social distance walks are cool. but yeah, you know, there's a huge element of just like wanting to respect the people that you have chosen to see, like the small group that you've chosen to see. And whenever you bring someone else into that world, you have to, you know, tell everyone, and you have to, like, that's a risk. Like, dating is a risk now. So they better be worth it, you know? And if a lot of times they're not.
I don't even know where you physically go. Like, I did have someone, like, I don't know, a month or two ago, want to take a walk. And I'm just like, that sounds horrible. Nothing sounds worse to me. And mind you, this is New York. Like, it is now winter. Yeah. I'm like,
you don't even see each other because you're so bundled up. It's like mask on, like, you know.
Yeah. I'm like, no. I want to sit somewhere and have a drink, and those options don't exist. So let's just scrap this.
Yeah, no, I feel that.
Before we go, last question, what do you think is the like biggest misconception of you from like people who do, you know, think they know you from TV?
I think the main misconception is, I mean, there's a few, but I think the main thing is that I think people tend to think of the taxidermy thing as like hating animals and like being, you know, hating that. And so I feel like I want to tell people that like I love animals. Like I have such a huge love and respect for them that I love collecting them. I'm really into like zoology and studying animals. And I think it's a lot of people associate taxidermy with like, you're just going to hunt and kill something. It's like, that's like so far from who I am. I would say that's the biggest misconception of how people view me. Yeah, I don't know. I like life in general, like in so many different ways. So
you seem like it. You and I will keep in touch. I will DM you.
Yeah.
As long as it's on IG, I'm good about getting back.
Yes, yes.
Where can everybody find you and where can they find this book?
Oh, so my Instagram is It's Kendall Long. If you want to see my coffee doodles that I am now challenging myself to do every day, that's where you'll find them. And then for my book, it's kendalllong.com. And it's on Amazon as well. So
everyone needs to follow you, buy your book. I will DM you and say thank you for being here. I really appreciate it. I know, you know, you're in, but you're still busy. You could be doing other things. So, and you know, maybe you will come back like at the end of the season and we will see, we'll have another review and we'll see if who's chosen is the right people.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm into it. Let's go.
We'll talk again, you know, because yes, I think we have a bunch of weeks left. Awesome. I really appreciated it. Kendall Long, everyone. Keep in touch.
Of course. Yes. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, since we recorded this episode, there is a lot that has happened in Bachelor Nation. So we have welcomed back Miss Kendall Long, who is so nice and generous to take time out of her day. Just as an addendum for everything you just heard, we have to address all that has happened. So welcome back, Kendall.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me. Yeah, definitely a lot going on in Bachelor Nation right now.
I mean, I literally can't keep up. I literally can't keep up. So before we get into some other things, let's just talk about Bachelor Nation and what's going on. I mean, you know, like I like to, we'll start at the beginning. So, you know, look, we all know what's going on. Like Rachel, it's come out that like Rachel Kirkconnell has attended an Old South themed antebellum party. And that was discovered by someone on TikTok. And that has been known for a few weeks. I just want to give you the timeline of it. So since that has happened, then that was like in January. On February 2nd, Matt James put out a statement, which basically said that he's not spoken to anyone and let's give people the benefit of the doubt. And hopefully Rachel will have her time to speak. That was on February 2nd. After that, we all know Chris Harrison on February 10th sat down with Rachel Lindsay on Extra. And everyone should Google this and hear it for themselves because I am paraphrasing. These are just top of the line bullet points, you know, and he basically said he doesn't agree with viewers calling her out, you know, and until Rachel has said her side of the story, perhaps she was simply having fun at a popular event and he, the judge, jury, and executioner thing, it just doesn't work for him. We haven't heard Rachel speak on it. Then the very next day, Rachel issued an apology, basically apologizing. I mean, she's also liked some photos on Instagram in the past, just apologized for liking photos which were considered racist. She said it was ignorant and wrong, and she's sorry if she hurt anyone, and she deserves to be held accountable. Then a lot of people from Bachelor Nation spoke out, including like Michelle Young for the current women. A lot of the Bachelorette boys spoke out. February 13th, Chris Harrison said he was stepping aside from the Bachelor franchise. He apologized and said he was ignorant. He used words like woke police and said that wasn't appropriate. So Chris stepped aside. Then February 15th, Rachel Lindsay spoke out, you know, and she said it's basically was never her intent to have Chris step aside, but, you know, he really needs to take this as a learning opportunity. And since then, I mean, some other people have spoken out. A lot of people have spoken out. There's a movement online that's actually in favor of Chris. Trista Sutter, the original Bachelorette, just said some things which we'll get into. So that's kind of the timeline of everything of what's happened. Everyone, that is a really broad overview. So I feel like let's start at the beginning, right?
Yeah, a lot has happened. Yeah. So
I like to start at the beginning in the sense that like Rachel is on The Bachelorette, period. Like, so why? Like, how does this happen?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and I'm not casting stones. Like, I'm not, you know, I just want to, like, how does this happen?
Are you asking, like, how does it happen? Like, well, how does everything come out, or?
Well, okay, so she's on. So, I mean, look, ABC has, they vet people. They do a vetting process. Like, I don't know if you watch Vanderpump Rules or into any of the Bravo shows. Mm-hmm. You don't have to, but, like, Stassi Schroeder and Kristen Doty were fired earlier last year for, you know, actions that they took against Faith Stower. So to me, it's like after Bravo fires Kristen and Stassi, mm-hmm. everyone out there has their own opinion. I'm not getting into that. I'm just saying as a network, I would think networks would really, you know, from what I understand, ABC has a pretty tight background screen process.
Yeah, they definitely ask you, you meet up with somebody who asks you a lot of questions, and I'm sure they do extensive research, but ABC can't catch everything. You know, social media is such a huge web, and I think we're all engaging in social media in so many different ways, there's so many different platforms, so, and I honestly don't even think Rachel would remember, you know, something like that, because for her it was a while ago. That being said, I think that reality TV is something that can be almost like a big lesson for everybody, you know, because it is real life. These are real people. So you have their real past, you know, and that's able to be brought into light. The one thing is that Bachelor was filmed a couple months ago. So when they were filming it, this wasn't something that was on her mind, Matt's mind, Chris's mind or anything. So it's interesting to see the future episodes airing and to know that, you know, everything that's going on can't really be addressed as much as you want it to. And Chris isn't going to be on after the, on Woman Tell All. So that's going to be interesting, or after the final rose. So it's going to be interesting to see like how that's addressed in Bachelor Nation, like with that knowledge, like when they're filming. So yeah, I mean, I've talked to a lot of other people in Bachelor Nation. I've been doing like a lot of Clubhouse talks and we had addressed this. I was talking to Garen Flowers, actually, who's on Claire's season. And I guess the consensus in the conversation was, I think this is just something that we could all learn from and we're all continuing to learn. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's something that is difficult to talk about, you know.
Well, okay, yeah, it is. I mean, like, I spoke to someone from Bachelor Nation for an episode that's coming out where he said, you know, like, ABC has, like, former FBI people that are involved in, like, the screening process, which doesn't, I mean, that doesn't shock me. So, I mean, okay, so I guess here's my question. Is there any world in which ABC, I mean, we don't know, but, like, could ABC have known this and said either, A, she's really good for Matt, like, there's like, do relationship experts get involved in the selection process?
I feel like they definitely want to find a match for the Bachelor or Bachelorette. It only makes the show look better when they have real relationships, real marriages, children, you know? So I think that's like ultimately their goal. I don't know if it was something that they noticed, you know? But it's crazy to think that there's FBI like looking into the past of people. I know that there's been, and I think they're taking it up a notch every single season they go in, because I know that there were men who were accused of like sexual assault that have been on the show that were just like basically edited out, and they were a huge part of the show. So I think that's all that they can do at this point. And we don't really know who Matt's going to choose. I feel like Rachel makes it relatively far, so it's hard to edit her out in a situation like this. And they could possibly be in a relationship, you know, so it's something that like, I'm sure she, if Matt and her are in a relationship, they're having so many conversations that like we have not seen. And if they end up together, I can imagine that after the final rose will be a huge focus on this. So it's hard when there's so much that's like held back. you know?
You don't think this means that, because that's my other thing. Like, you know, I mean, I think if she didn't win, like, it's easy to either edit her out, like you said, like, yeah. You know, people that have been edited out, mm-hmm. or just put a warning. Like, I've seen, like, on Drag Race, they had a situation and they put a thing on, you know, just saying, like, this person, like, did this or whatever, and we don't stand by the actions, mm-hmm. until that person was sent home. So it's almost like, to me, I think she wins the whole show, which, I mean, now everybody thinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Chris did make, I mean, it didn't seem in his character to be as defensive. You know, I almost think he was protecting her and the show and the outcome of the show over maybe his own ideas, or maybe what would have been a better place, you know, to be, to like express himself. I don't agree with how Chris conducted himself. I think he could have conducted himself so much better. And I think a lot of what he said like made me cringe. And I was like, it just didn't seem like the Chris that I knew. So, and Rachel held herself really well in like a situation like that. I was actually, you know, I was glad to see that she handled herself so professionally. And it's hard when you're in a situation that is blatantly like not okay, and to keep your calm and to be able to address it in like a very professional way. Like, I, you know, kudos to her. I don't think she should have to deal with anything like that. But yeah, and I think Chris taking some time off the show is good.
You do.
Yeah.
What did he say that made you cringe?
There was a part that he said where, and also Brian mentioned it as well. He said, well, who are you? He like corrected himself, but like that statement of like, who are you to say something? And I was just like, what? Like, who is Rachel Lindsay? She is like one of the most successful bachelorettes that we've had. And she's just doing so much with her life. And to say something like that was where I was like, I just don't know where that came from, you know? And saying things like the woke police, and, you know, this is like a movement that we've all been through, that we all are, of course, like still learning, but like, it's so important to be open and receptive of learning and to not to put pride into anything, or, you know, so, and also speaking from a place where he doesn't really have understanding, you know, and to try to defend a place that doesn't have as much understanding, like there's a lot of ignorance in that. So, I definitely think he's reflecting. I feel like there's a lot that he probably was ashamed of saying, and, you know, so it, but, you know, unfortunately it's already said, and I guess it's one of those things that we can all see as like an example.
Do you think like the who are you, because that's been pointed out by a lot of people, like, do you think the who are you statement would be as offensive, like, if Rachel were a white woman or a man even?
Well, because he was saying it as if like she didn't have a say in a situation, whereas,
right,
anything, she had more of a say than he did, you know. So if it was maybe like a white female or a male, it probably wouldn't have made as much sense, because I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, it's not their place to speak with out having experience in that. But Rachel Lindsay has direct experience with like so much of everything that this is, especially in Bachelor Nation. There's just been so much bullying, so much like awful things said in the DMs. I know it was addressed last year, and Rachel Lindsay was a huge part of that. So to then go through addressing racist comments in the DMs with a lot of the contestants, to then going to this and seeing how Chris reacts with this, like, that's where I was like, don't we already have awareness about this? You know, haven't we already talked about this? Haven't we already talked about things that aren't appropriate to say to people? So I was just surprised that it was handled in that way.
Do you think Rachel is going to throw in the towel? Because, I mean, this is, like, one of her initiatives. Like, she's in Bachelor Nation, you know, in part for this. Like, do you think she's just getting tired of it, like, to your point?
I think she's separating herself from Bachelor Nation a little bit more. You know, I know that Katie Morton is also separating herself from Bachelor Nation. There's a lot of people who are kind of, you know, saying, you know, Bachelor Nation needs some time to grow and stepping aside from it. I think Bachelor Nation has a huge opportunity to set an example, you know, for so many different kinds of people, just because their audience is so broad. And I would like to see them step it up, I really would. And I've seen actions towards that. There definitely have been actions towards that. But I don't want it to be actions that are too late. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather them try to be ahead of the curve as opposed to keeping up with what's going on in the world, keeping up, you know? It's just like, I feel like it's really important to just jump with 2 feet in.
I mean, that makes sense. So you think it's right that Chris is stepping aside?
Yeah, you know, I think he needs to do a lot of growing. I would like to hear from, you know, in his own words, like seeing his face with more of an explanation about this and with more of, you know, what he's learned from this and how he can do better moving forward. I think that's something that, you know, because not a lot of people that watch The Bachelor keep up with social media and keep up with, you know, most of the audience is seeing everything from the TV. There's people who are like, oh, you and Joe are broken up? Like, I had no idea. And so I think it has to be addressed on the show, you know, and whether that's Chris saying something, whether that's Rachel Lindsay coming back on, Matt James or Rachel or whoever, like, I think something has to be addressed on the television show as opposed to just social media.
That's a good point. Like, do you think they're going to address it at the
women's? They have to. If they don't, I would be severely disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be weird if there is some stand-in host, no matter who it is,
Yeah. And
they just carry on as if this is a regular women tell-all.
Yeah, and I almost feel like, you know, who is that host going to be? You know what I mean? I think people are throwing out names like Rachel Lindsay. I know that there's other people they've been throwing names out, but I'm interesting. I mean, that's a very important role, especially as the host who's going to be addressing this issue. So who's going to step in? And I'm not sure if Rachel is going to, you know, want to have to go in and explain to everybody this stuff that, you know, we should all be researching ourselves. So she's already put herself out there so much with Bachelor and especially with different race issues. So I'm just interested to see, like, what the next steps are.
Who else have you heard has been thrown around for the host? I mean, and I assume it's the same. I assume whoever it is has a good chance of just being the host maybe next season if Chris doesn't.
I know that some people were saying Garen Flowers, who was on Claire's season, and he has experience being on television. He has experience hosting. So I think that's someone that people have been throwing out. I know people have been saying Wells, JoJo, Becca, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I almost feel like there has to be representation, you know, there has to be someone who has experience, who is well versed and who can, you know, give a good voice to this movement and give a good voice to, like, how Bachelor Nation can move forward. So it's not an easy decision. Like, I think it has to be, you know, it just has to be really carefully thought out. I almost think Mike Johnson would be really great. He's so well spoken. He also is doing the podcast right now. He has a Bachelor Nation podcast, so I feel like he's also, like, an amazing voice for this. But I can understand how a lot of people are exhausted explaining this to everyone. You know what I mean? Like, it's exhausting to be like, okay, well, you should have been doing your research and now I'm going to have to give you an explanation again. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, I think it's needed, but who's going to be that voice is yet to be determined.
I think Mike would be, that's the name I was going to throw out.
Yeah.
Or Mike would be great. Or, I mean, if Chris doesn't come back, what about Matt James next season?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He's already shown that he can handle himself perfectly well. And I feel like he, I really love how he is in this season. Like, this season has been, like, I love how he's, like, handling the relationships and how he's expressing vulnerability. And he, communication-wise, like, he's amazing with communication. So I feel like that can definitely be an option, yeah.
Do you think Chris's statement was Chris, or do you think this is like ABC saying, oh, well, this is our winner, so here's what you need to say?
Yeah, I couldn't help but think it was a little bit he was speaking for ABC as opposed to speaking for Chris, because like I said before, it didn't seem like the Chris that I know. That being said, he, like, you know, of course he has to take ownership for his actions. You know, he did say it. No one's forcing him to say anything. So I think it was a delicate line that he was trying to balance. Whereas, you know, I don't know necessarily if he should have been trying to play the balancing act. You know what I mean? You can't play in the middle in a situation like this. You have to be vocal either in, you know, being anti-racist and, you know, being supportive of the movement, or you're not. You know, you have to, you know, I think it's done with, like, trying to balance and trying to please everybody. You know, that doesn't exist in this world. And I've made it very clear on, you know, my social media page, like where I stand, and, you know, there's no question behind that. And I think a lot of people in Bachelor Nation are doing that. But I do see people trying to, you know, not say anything. You know, it's not, and that speaks volumes within itself.
Right. There are a lot of people that are not saying stuff. What about, like, do you think Chris deserves to come back?
You know, I think it would, I don't think that's for me to decide. I think a lot would have to happen for him to come back and to be accepted. It'd be just accepted to show that he, like, how can he show that he's learned? You know what I mean? And how can he show that he's learned without it looking like he's trying to just say what's right? You know what I mean? So it would have right. to be something substantial.
Because that's, yeah. Well, no, I mean, it's great, but that's the other argument. Like, people are saying, like, you've stepped aside to what? To, like, Bachelor in Paradise. I mean, assuming that's happening with COVID, that's like in 3 months, 2 months. Mm-hmm. That's not really stepping aside. You weren't really going to do anything for the next 2 months anyway. There is that chatter.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I think we can maybe see more about what's going to happen in the future after it is addressed. And I think Chris will have to make some sort of statement mm-hmm. on ABC, on The Bachelor show. So, I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, because I think that if he's going to continue on the franchise, that has to happen. It can't just be skirted over, take some time. I mean, time heals, but in this situation, I think actions heal more. And I think I would like to see something like a visual, you know, representation of that on the show.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that, but I think you're right. There are a lot. I mean, there's even a lot of my listeners that, like, don't, you know, they're not up on podcasts. They listen to mine. Like, there are a lot of people that are not yeah. on social media, just that are, they get their news from the TV. So you're right that it almost has to be addressed, and it almost has to be, Chris almost has to be involved if there's going to be a future, I think.
Yeah, if he's going to be continue to be on the show, then yes, he has to be involved. You know, he's also a producer of the show, so he is always going to be involved in Bachelor in some way. So and because he is almost like a face of the Bachelor, he represents the Bachelor in so many ways. And how he was in the interview with Rachel, like, that's not how I want the show that I was a part of to be represented, you know,
so, or remembered, really.
Yeah, exactly. And it would be a shame if that was like the last, you know, thing he did publicly, and that's how he ended it, you know. Like, I don't want to see him end it that way. I think he's a better person than that, because I genuinely think he's a good person. I don't think he's an awful person, you know. So I would like to see him present himself in a way that, you know, represents that I guess I can be proud of in Bachelor Nation. Like, I want to be proud of Chris. I want to see growth in him, and I want to see him just being open. He sets an example for so many people who watch the show.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people look up to him. Mm-hmm. What about, like, someone like Trista, who went on to say, like, you know, he's family and you don't always agree with family, and I don't support racism. But I also, I mean, she said, I have a problem with people in Bachelor Nation condemning other people for what they're not saying, is basically what she was saying.
I mean, I'm not about the cancel culture. I don't think that's healing. So, you know, yeah, Chris is, like, for anyone who's been a part of the show, it is a family. It feels like a big family. That being said, you can correct family. Family can learn. So I don't think it's a matter of hating and canceling Chris. I think it's a matter of, this is someone that we care about within Bachelor Nation. Let's, you know, allow him to grow. And I would love to see that. I don't think it's my place to say whether or not he should continue to be part of the show, or, you know, but I would still like to see, I would like to see growth in him, you know.
Which, I mean, like, it seems, you know, but I agree. It's a written statement. The written statement focused on growth. I mean, it did. It focused on really, like, don't worry about me being canceled. Like, I need to go do work. I mean, so it said the right words, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about, like, someone like Tayshia Adams, who has just today come out and said, like, I don't want Chris to be canceled forever?
Yeah.
I mean, is that shocking?
No, because, you know, Tayshia, well, she knows Chris. You know, she probably knows him way more than I do. You know, I feel like it's hard when you have had personal, like, close bonding experiences with somebody. You never want to just disregard them and push them aside, because that's not what this movement's about. This movement's about changing minds, opening minds. And so Tayshia, you know, I trust her judgment, like, tremendously. And I feel like if she has openness in her heart and she can see growth in him, knowing him so much better than so many people do, then I think, you know, that goes to show that maybe we should all open our hearts a little bit more to who he can be and how he can change.
Right. I think I agree. I think people focus on the cancel aspect of cancel culture other than what is this person learning from this and have they really learned? And that's really the point of it.
You can't shove it under a rug and expect it to grow or the world to change. You know what I mean? You can't just put everyone that you don't agree with, you know, on Mars and be like, all right, we've solved the problem. They're all gone. They're all canceled. Let's move on. I mean, you know, so many people make up like this negativity that we're all feeling, you know? So it's about changing minds. It's about trying to educate, you know, to spread knowledge, to get people to be inspired to learn. You know what I mean? Like with my stories, like I always want to inspire people to do research and I want to inspire people to learn. You know what I mean? Like I'm more so speaking to the people that I want them to like see a different perspective.
Well, you're very well-spoken and you have the right vision, but not everybody, you know, can articulate it as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's important to be articulate in situations like this. And, you know, and I've made it like a huge effort to be, because I think it's really important. And I don't want being someone who has a big platform, you know, it's my responsibility to every single thing that I put forward has to be, you know, well thought out. And I've made mistakes. You know, I'm not perfect. I've made so many mistakes and, you know, I'm glad for people to educate me on that. And you can't take it and be like, how dare you point at me and say I made a mistake. That's not what this is about. You know, oh, I made a mistake. You know, I had no idea. Now I know. Let's move forward. You know, I don't want to like dwell in it, but I want to like grow and move forward. And that's what it's about.
Right. And learning from your mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
And you do think ABC will address this and like have Chris there at the...
I mean, I think they have to. I think they have to. There's no way that they can't. I mean, I feel like morally they have to. And that would be something that I would be greatly disappointed if it wasn't addressed.
I think it's going to be interesting if Rachel is chosen, because we don't say win, as you and I discussed last, because this is Looking for Love and there's no winners. And you're not a fan of when people ask you what place you came in. See, I remembered our chat, Kendall.
Yeah. You remember what I said.
But yeah, it is all true. I mean, it's just going to be interesting because now, I mean, I really do think that they end up together. So it's going to be interesting just to see how that plays itself out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a conversation between Matt and Rachel. I'm not a huge fan of people telling others like who they should love and how they should love and how, you know, I think it's, if they can survive, if they are together at the end of this, I haven't looked at spoilers, but you know, based off of everything, if they are together after this, I hope that they can, if they truly are in love, I hope they can take this moment as a moment to bond and grow closer and for Rachel to learn and to move forward stronger than ever. That being said, this is almost a test of their relationship. You know, she's going to be challenged and you should be challenged in relationships, especially with stuff like this. This happens in so many different ways in all kinds of relationships. So I would like to see them be an example of like, you know, you can grow, you can learn and you can still thrive in a relationship and love.
Is there anyone, like, let's just say Chris isn't back, like on a lighter note, like forget about this season and this tell all, let's next season. Is there anyone from Bachelor Nation you would like to see as the new host?
Mike Johnson. Yeah. You know, he's one of my friends. So I'm a big fan of him. And I think he has it in him to be everything that The Bachelor needs in a host. And you know, I would say Rachel Lindsay, but I almost feel like she's distancing herself from the Bachelor franchise and that's a personal choice she's made. She's expressed it multiple times. So I do want to respect like her wishes not to be forced into a position. At the same time, if that's an opportunity that she wants to be a part of, I think she very much deserves it. So that's my opinion.
Well, I've sat down with Mike and
yeah.
I'm a huge fan as well. I think I would have said him, he's really a good choice.
Yeah, I really wanted him to be The Bachelor. I mean, I love Matt James. I mean, I love Matt, of course, but Mike, like before everything, I was like, oh, he would be, I can't, like the choice to make.
He's nice. He tells it like it is.
Yeah.
And you think whoever is chosen, if it's not Chris, like, you think it really is important, like, diversity and inclusion. Like, that's a key fact.
Yeah, like I said, jump in with 2 feet. You know what I mean? Don't tiptoe. Don't test the water. This is about change. This is about, you know, this is about shifts, like major shifts that the world needs to take. And I think that would be a huge statement that Bachelor Nation needs.
I think so. And listen, if Chris is still going to be a producer, which he will be.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying, making light of it and just saying all is right. I'm just saying, like, okay. I can tell you that if there is a season without Chris, then Chris is not coming back. Like, it's...
Yeah.
That's just how it works. We change things all the time. And by the end of one season, you're going to be used to the new situation. And mm-hmm. we're not going backwards.
And then for him to come back would also be like readdressing that issue again. It would, you know what I mean? So they'd be bringing it back. You know what I mean? Like, do you want to address it and move forward and continue to move forward? Or do you want to address it, move forward a bit, and go back to readdress it? You know what I mean? So it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
It's about movement. It's about moving forward.
Do you think Katie's going to be the next Bachelorette? I don't know if we talked about that when you were here last.
Who, Katie?
Yeah.
Oh, the girl that was on Matt James' season.
Yeah. I'm changing the topic now. Yeah. Unless you want to talk anything more about that.
No, yeah. I mean, I feel like we covered it rather well, and I think that there's so many other voices that are, you know, being expressed in this. So I think it's, you know, covered fairly well.
That's how I feel. I mean, like, I appreciate you just, you know, following up and like talking as an addendum. But I feel like while I have you, before we go,
yeah.
Do you think it'll really be Katie or?
She did set a great example with being a strong woman and not feeding into the pack mentality of being a mean girl. And I think because there's been so many seasons of The Bachelor and that we've seen that have had like just a lot of the like cruel dramatics, you know, like I would like to see someone who stands up to bullying be in like the lead position, because I think that says a lot, you know. So I would love to see her, or I'd love to see Bree. Like, personally, Bree is like, you know, I mean, if she's not chosen by Matt James, obviously you have to see if her heart's ready, if, you know, if they do break up and stuff. But, Bree's been like my girl since night one. So
really,
yeah. I mean, her in that green dress, and then she was just like, she was just so like a calming force. She was like such a calming force. And, I don't think we've seen enough of her. You know, I was hoping to see more of her, like, in this season. But, I'm just a huge fan of her, so.
I was thinking Abigail.
I love Abigail. Also, like, if we're talking about, you know, diversity, like, having a birth difference of having, you know, hearing problems, I think that is something that is something that Bachelor can also, you know, like, make sure that they represent, so.
I think so. And I don't know. I could see her carrying the whole, like, a show. I could see it, oh. You know? Oops. Anything... Sorry. No, anything else you want to talk about? Anything shock you that's happened since we talked last on Bachelor?
Other shocking things. I mean,
do you guys, is in Bachelor Nation, do you all like sit around and just predict and then get spoilers and your spoilers are always right?
Well, something that's been actually happening a lot lately is a lot of people from Bachelor have been getting together on like Clubhouse. I like didn't even know what it was, and I just hopped on it, so it's interesting to have like those conversations. It's almost like a live podcast, so
it is.
It's not like I'm doing an ad for it, like I'm really not.
I did my first, I joined and did one last night with another podcaster. I don't know how I feel about Clubhouse. I'm not sure. I'm torn.
It's so new. I think a lot of people can get in trouble. Like, I can see a lot of people getting in trouble on that app, you know, because it's like a phone call, you know, it's live. Everything's live. It can be recorded. Anyone can listen who's a part of the Clubhouse app. So I anticipate a lot of stuff happening with that, like, you know, maybe good and bad. But yeah, it's been interesting to see. I find it entertaining.
I mean, like, in a way, I'm like, okay, so maybe this could just replace podcasts eventually, the way like cell phones replaced rotary phones in the way. But then at the same time, I'm like, I don't know. It's that not being able to save it. It's the same way I always thought about doing an Instagram live for like an hour or half an hour. Yeah. I'm like, what is the point of this? But I tried it and people seem to like it. So I'm here for it.
We'll hop on one. We have to get on one.
We'll get, listen, you and I will get on one and we'll talk. I mean, like I guess that's the good thing. You don't really need to prepare. You go on and you prepare a little bit, but you and I will do one. That's what I like about it. And I know like other people, like, yeah, like you don't have to, like last night when I was doing it, I was like, wait, what am I going to put on? And I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have to like look even.
That's the best part of it.
It is.
I mean, I, not that like I'm against, you know, like this is something I could get dressed up for. So, you know, in a pandemic, I'm like, yes, I would like to look presentable. It's a fun activity, but there's something awesome to be like, oh, I could just go on and like have my hair all messy in pajamas in a onesie and, you know, with a glass of wine. And like, this is a glass of wine. That's where it's dangerous. So.
And well, I don't know. I'm like a Gemini. I am like, I could do a million things at once. So like for me, like I was doing mindless work last night for work for this podcast, but it was something that requires no thought process. And I'm like, this two things at once, man, this I can get behind. Oh, but that's yeah. where it's dangerous. Cause then you're just saying whatever and you're like, oh, wait a second. Like people are listening.
Yeah. There were certain people that were in the conversation, some bachelor people, and they were saying things and I was just like, shut up, like stop it.
Right, because then everyone doesn't think, and then you're like, I'm the one hosting this, and now, like, I'm not saying this. Like, that's...
Yeah.
We will do one any day you would like.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Clubhouse fan now, you know. Not an expert, but, like, when you first join, you have, like, a little party hat. My party hat is gone. I am now officially...
I still have a party hat, and I think I have, like, all of 25 followers. But, honestly, I'm shocked at that, because I was on it for a minute, and then just hung up, and then checked, and I was like, who are these people that are now following around here?
I know. It's so surprising because you have, it goes from your contacts. So I have so right. many contacts. There's people that I haven't talked to or seen in like years.
Same here.
And it's so funny to see them on there and be like, oh, like I forgot you existed kind of. And like now I'm, you know, so.
I'm just like, I am good. I was late to Instagram. I mean, I'm on Instagram now in full force, but I fought it for a minute. So I'm just like, if this becomes the next big thing, I will not join this trend 9 months from now. It's just that.
No, simple. Jump on it now. I think it is. Cause like, I enjoy it. Like cause it just,
everyone does.
Yeah. It gives a platform to speak. You know, I think right now voices are so important. You know, I don't want to say, you know, I'm always, of course, like we all have like our own like agenda, like please, like, you know, openness and like, but I think any platform that gives space for people to like give their, you know, experiences and their opinions, I think is really cool. So.
I think so. Well, on that note, where can everyone find you?
It's Kendall Long. You know, I think it's the same thing for Clubhouse as well, but yeah, it's Kendall Long.
Everyone needs to follow you. Anything else you want to cover before we say goodbye? I appreciate this.
No, I mean, I think
you could add anything you want.
Well, Pistachio he's currently eating something.
Well, sure. I was going to say when we were getting on, I was like, you know, he was part of our first chat. So he needs to be part of our second chat.
Oh, yeah. But it's so funny. Whenever I go on Zooms or anything, he's just like, pay attention to me. I will wreak havoc. And I'm just sitting here like, don't do that.
He could just tell that you're not giving him your 100% undivided attention, even though you're home now most of the time.
Oh, no, completely. He just has to, I have to play with him constantly. He's a puppy, so.
Well, you're home, so there you go. But we will do a Clubhouse for real. We'll, like, make it happen.
Hands down, I'll find you on Clubhouse.
Please do. I think it's like, we'll just type in my first and last. Even if I think you type behind the velvet rope, it comes up. We do some weird username, but it's there. Okay, I think it's like at behind velvet row or something like that. I ran out of characters.
I'll find you.
You'll find me. I appreciate this. We'll talk. I will DM you. Thank you for coming back on and we will make this all happen.
Of course. Yeah. I'm excited about it.
So thank you. And I'll like DM you later.
Perfect. All right. We'll talk in the DMs.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to yet another episode of Behind the Velvet Rope. Because without you listeners, I would just be a crazy person with voices in my head. And if you like what you hear, subscribe on Apple Podcasts under Behind the Velvet Rope. And when you're done subscribing, feel free to leave a 5-star write-up review. Because the write-up reviews actually count. We read each and every one of them. We post the best ones. And the reviews really help our shows keep going. And we really appreciate everything you guys say, especially the positive ones. And if you want to find us online, we're at Behind Velvet Rope on Instagram. We are at David Yontef on Instagram. We're Behind the Velvet Rope on Apple Podcasts. Or head on over to Patreon, because you know what? There are just some things we can't talk about here. So for our bonus episodes, go to Patreon and type in Behind the Velvet Rope. And if you still aren't sick of me and you want more David, go to Cameo and book me on Cameo. And you can ask me anything there. I'll answer whatever you want. And I have a bargain basement price of $10. Thank you guys. See you soon.